WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Whoa. Is it Friday already? I cannot believe that it is Friday, folks. The end of the week is here. Memorial Day weekend is right around the corner. My goodness. I can already smell the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the, I'm getting hungry right now. I haven't eaten today, so you have to bear with me on that. Oh, my goodness. But, whoa, we have a great show in store for you all today on May 23rd, 2014. This Friday, TGIF. Hopefully, everybody is enjoying this incredible, incredible weather, man. I mean, we've been certainly blessed these past few days. And it looks like it's going to continue this weekend, folks. All Memorial Day weekend is supposed to be in the 70s, possibly 80s. The sun will be shining, the birds will be chirping, and I'm sure many of you will be enjoying a lot of Memorial Day festivities. But before, before all of that takes place, we're glad that you have allowed us to join you for today's Current Sports and be a part of your Friday afternoon. A lot to talk about, as always, here on Current Sports, as we'll talk about Johnny Football today. Yes, it just keeps on coming. I tell you, Johnny Football, I can't go a day without saying that name. And, in today's show, we'll talk about Brian Hoyer, of course, who is a former Michigan State QB, now turned Cleveland Brown quarterback, who really turned a lot of heads before he got injured in the three games that he did play for Cleveland during last year's season. Brian is slated to be the number one guy, the guy for the Cleveland Browns, as reports are coming out. I know right now it's still early when it comes to camp, but right now everybody still has Brian as the number one guy to be starting coming out of the offseason into next season. But Johnny Football was drafted to the Cleveland Browns and has caused a lot of attention, a lot of spotlight on the Cleveland Brown franchise. And many expect that, there are many out there that are hoping that Johnny Football, takes the reins from Brian Hoyer and will become that starting QB, because it will just bring a lot of added attention to the Cleveland Browns, something that hasn't been a part of that franchise in quite some time. But again, Brian Hoyer is still the number one guy. He's starting with the number one squad, while Johnny Football is taking reps with the third string guys, the third team reps for him. So we'll kind of debate about whether or not Johnny Football will start this upcoming year. And also, have you seen this? And this just kind of speaks to our new age social media atmosphere and, just the new age fiasco and attention getter that sports is nowadays, especially when concerning Johnny Manziel. Now, if you haven't heard, it's a pretty comical story. A sexual harassment lawsuit has been filed against Johnny Manziel and was accepted in Florida federal court this month. And, folks, if you read the reports, it is 100% fake, frivolous, phony, and hilarious, to be honest with you. And it's really crazy, because Manziel has become such an easy target for these type of puns. Frankly, to be honest with you, anybody who's in the spotlight, such as a highly touted, popular athlete like LeBron James, a Kobe Bryant, a Peyton Manning, I mean, athletes who are really in the spotlight all the time, in today's social media atmosphere, I mean, you have a target on your back and everyone's trying to come at you. I mean, from all different angles. There's with money and fame comes haters. Let's just be honest with it. And for Johnny Manziel, he's certainly experiencing that, especially with this sexual harassment lawsuit. Again, this was accepted in Florida federal courts this month. But again, nothing will come of it, because if you read the report, it is totally just phony. Some of the things that are brought up are just comical, to be honest with you. I won't go through and read the report for you. Again, if you haven't read the report if this story is new to you, you can just go online and Google it. If you Google Johnny Football sexual assault, it'll come right up, and you can actually, they have released the actual document from the individual who decided to kind of poke fun at Johnny Football and release this and file this this sexual assault complaint, if you will. And I won't go into detail. It's kind of long and pretty graphic, to be honest with you. Some parts are like, okay, I don't even need to read that on the air, but check it out. It just kind of, it's really comical and just goes to show how there are a lot of idiots in the world. And again, with money comes haters, and a lot of people just kind of try to come at you. So I found that to be pretty comical. So check that out. Pretty funny stuff. Also, later on in today's show, we'll talk about the Tigers, who have now lost four straight. What is going on with the Detroit Tigers? My goodness. I mean, they had an incredible start to the season. Again, I still think that they are the best ball club in baseball. I mean, and we knew this would come. I mean, the baseball season is such a long season. Anything can happen. You're going to go through times in, you know, in the season where you just can't get it together. And the Tigers are going through that right now. Of course, they were swept by the Cleveland Indians and lose game one of their series to the Texas Rangers yesterday. They will also be back in action later on tonight around 7 o'clock. But, man, four straight losses for the Tigers. So we'll talk about that. And also Prince Fielder, some news has come out about his herniated disc injury that don't bode well for him. Again, we will take your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will debate anything that's on your noggin. If you want to call in and talk about the NHL playoffs or the NBA playoffs or college football, college basketball, anything, we'll take your calls and talk about it, okay? 517-355-9527. And also, if you missed Current Sports TV last night because you were out at the park or enjoying the weather, enjoying the nice, beautiful night that was yesterday, and you happen to miss Current Sports TV, well, hey, we got you back, Current Sports fans. That's right. James Moore was my guest. He was a MSU fullback back for the 1988 Rose Bowl Championship squad. And I tell you, he has quite the story to tell, an inspirational guy. The interview was great with him, so much so that we are going to play it on today's Current Sports around 1:15, so you don't want to miss that. He has also embarked on a pretty cool endeavor entitled SWAP, S-W-A-P. You'll get a chance to find out what that means in just a sec, so you don't want to miss that sit down. James, it was a great time sitting down with him. Such an inspirational guy, to say the least. Okay, in the meantime, folks, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this May 23rd, 2014. Well, the Diamond Classic. I took a trip out there yesterday at Cooley Law School Stadium. Dean Chippy Diamond Classic. Love covering this event each and every year. In game one, DeWitt defeated Portland 5-2 in the quarterfinal last night, again at Cooley Law School Stadium. DeWitt will now face the powerhouse that is Grand Ledge at 5:30 p.m. on June 2nd. At Cooley. So DeWitt defeated Grand Ledge twice to begin this year. I mean, I tell you, DeWitt had an unbelievable start to this season. Again, they knocked off Grand Ledge twice, and they're hoping to do so on their way possibly to a Diamond Classic championship. And in game two, Eden Rapids topped East Lansing 4-3. The Greyhounds, who earned their first ever Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic victory, will return to Cooley Law School Stadium to face the CAAC Gold rival Charlotte team at 7:30 p.m. again on June 2nd in the semifinal. Now, before Eden Rapids meets Charlotte in the semifinal in a week and a half, it has to compete in a tough Division II district that includes both Charlotte and Portland. So, man, they still have some work to do before they even get to that June 2nd semifinal. You can catch highlights of both of those games on next week's Current Sports TV. It was a great time being out there. Great weather for baseball, too. All right. Michigan State's bats went cold as number 2 seed Nebraska held on for a 3-2 victory in the Big Ten baseball tournament on Thursday at TD Ameritrade Park. Now, MSU's top four hitters, Cam Gibson, Anthony Checkey, Blaze Salter, and Jimmy Pickens, all four of those guys, can you believe this, combined to go 0-14 in the game and are just 3-28 in the tournament. My goodness, really tough outing for those guys. Now, the Spartans have, as a team, have just 11 hits through their first two tournament games. The 6-seeded Spartans will face number 3, Illinois, at 4:30 p.m. on Friday, today, in an elimination game. Now, the game will be televised on the Big Ten Network, and as far as University of Michigan goes, U of M, the Wolverines, allowed 5 runs in the 7th inning, scoring, I tell you what, in just a solid start, really solid start by Nate Adcock, but they could not capitalize for him. Adcock, a freshman, yeah, folks, allowed 4 runs and 5 hits in 6 2/3 innings. He struck out 7 and walked 3. Now, Michigan faces Iowa at 7:30 p.m. tonight in an elimination game as well. So both MSU and Michigan, both in elimination games today, 4:30 p.m. for MSU as they, again, take on Illinois, number 3 seeded Illinois. Michigan will take on Iowa, 7:30 p.m., both in elimination games to keep their Big Ten championship hopes alive. So we'll see how that one pans out. Okay, how about this, folks? U of M softball team, they are pretty darn good. Now, the number 13 Michigan softball team was simply too powerful, erupting early and late to upend FSU, Florida State University, 17-3 in six innings to capture the opening game in the best of three series that will determine a berth into the Women's College World Series. Now, FSU will need to regroup in a hurry. The Seminoles must beat Michigan at 4 p.m. today to force a decisive rubber match game, third game, yes, at 7 p.m. So we'll see how that one pans out. And how about this? More news when it comes to the University of Michigan, this in the area of men's basketball. Now, the NBA announced its all-rookie team yesterday, and two former Michigan Wolverines made the cut. Rookie of the Year, Michael Carter Williams, was the lone unanimous selection to the first team and was joined by Orlando's Victor Oladipo, Utah's Trey Burke, Brooklyn's Miles Plumlee, and New York's Tim Hardaway Jr. So two Wolverines on that first team. Burke and Hardaway, of course, started Michigan a year ago. So congrats to them. They both had outstanding rookie campaigns, and I was certainly an advocate for Tim Hardaway Jr. to seriously be considered for Rookie of the Year. So congrats to those two. They certainly deserve it. What great outings for them, and they will only continue to get better. All right, the Tigers, ladies and gents, the Rangers pushed the Tigers' losing streak to four games, taking the series opener in a 9-2 romp. Robbie Ray, how about him? Struggled for the first time this year, surrendering seven earned runs and nine hits in 3 1/3 innings. Evan Reed, he gave up an additional two runs in the fourth, and the Tigers' bats couldn't figure out a way to stop Yu Darvish, who pitched seven strong innings, allowing just two runs. Now, the Tigers will look to get back on track tonight as Anibal Sanchez takes on Rangers star Scott Baker. So we'll see how that one turns out. One Ranger who won't be facing Sanchez tonight, though, or any other pitchers this year, is former Tiger Prince fielder. How about this? Now, the Rangers slugger is expected to undergo fusion surgery on Tuesday to repair a herniated disc in his neck, and will likely miss the rest of the season. Now, the typical durable fielder has played a whopping 547 consecutive games, the top streak in the major league, so he's definitely durable up until this point, of course, before missing action last weekend. So we'll talk about the Tigers, who are, again, on a four-game losing streak now. They were swept by the Cleveland Indians and lose game one of the Texas Rangers series. We'll talk about what's wrong with the Tigers right now, and also Prince Fielder missing the opportunity to go against his former team and what that means for his future. So again, we're taking your call throughout this entire hour. If you want to weigh in on anything we talk about, 517-355-9527. Team USA, they were eliminated from the Hockey World Championships with a 4-3 loss to Czech Republic. The Americans have now failed to receive a medal at the World Juniors, the Olympics, and also the World Championships. Now, Team USA captain and current Detroit Red Wing and MSU alum Justin Abdelkader leveled Czech forward Vladimir Sobotka, and he was called for a five-minute major in game misconduct for charging. Now, it is likely that he will be suspended. Abdelkader was suspended earlier on in the championship game against Finland. So, man, that's a tough outing for them, but you know, it's still good to see Red Wings having some sort of success. Justin also, he had a you know, to start the Hockey World Championships, he had a great outing for him, and it was great to just see them in the offseason trying to fine tune and just get better. So we'll see how that pans out when it comes to Justin Abdelkader. Again, he leveled Czech forward Vladimir Sobotka and was called for a 5-minute major and game misconduct for charging. We'll see how the league disciplines him. Okay, Mark Cuban, we talked about this yesterday. Shout out to Mike from Saginaw who called in during yesterday's Current Sports to bring up the Mark Cuban comments. If you haven't heard, but Mark Cuban made some comments concerning, you know, just race in general and how we see it and how all of us have preconceived notions when it comes to the issue of race. Dallas Mavericks owner and entrepreneur Mark Cuban, he issued an apology via Twitter yesterday for those statements that he made during an interview about race and prejudice with Inc. magazine. Now, Cuban became a target after his comment about, quote, a black kid in a hoodie, quote, as a reference to the shooting death of Florida teen Trayvon Martin. Quote, in hindsight, I should have used different examples. I didn't consider the Trayvon Martin family, and I apologize to them for that. That's exactly what Cuban tweeted. So he's issued an apology for that, but is still standing strong to the essence of what his comments were trying to convey. So there you have that. And Floyd Mayweather, how about this? Floyd Mayweather Sr. which is Floyd's father, the heavyweight championship, welterweight champion, Floyd Mayweather Jr., said today that he doesn't believe a rematch should happen between Marcos Maidana in September. How about that? Of course, Marcos Maidana is Floyd's most recent challenger, who really pushed Floyd to the envelope in that fight and, you know, made it a kind of a scrap out at the beginning of the fight, throughout the entire fight, to be honest with you. It was a fun fight to watch. Mayweather Sr. went on the record to say, though, quote, "Floyd told me he wants to do it again, but I already told him I don't think he should do it. The guy's nothing but an MMA fighter. He's twisting your arm, pushing you out of the ring, hitting you behind the head, hitting you below the belt, butting you in the head. That's not boxing," end quote. Interesting comments. Again, those are comments from Floyd Mayweather Sr., Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s father, on whether or not a rematch should happen between him and Marcos Maidana near the end of the year in September. Interesting. We'll talk about that. I think it's kind of a cop-out just to try to keep that unblemished record for Floyd Mayweather Jr. intact. That's just my opinion. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. Those are your current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this TGIF Friday. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and share anything that's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page. If you're not by the phone, just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I'm always on Twitter, folks. I love Twitter is a great invention. I love it. All right. Well, James Moore, if you didn't catch Current Sports TV last night, I sat down with an inspirational guy, an inspirational man by the name of James Moore. Now, if that name rings a bell, well, it should if you're a big MSU football fan, because James Moore played fullback for the Spartans back in 1988, yes, for that Rose Bowl championship team. James has since moved on from the game of football and gone on to embark on numerous other endeavors. It was pretty cool. Talking with James before the show, you know, he was going through a few situations in life that just didn't invoke the passion out of him. He just was not passionate about what he was doing in life. I'm sure many of you out there listening have, gone through that stage, or maybe even are currently going through it. Maybe you're at a job that you just don't have a passion for, but are just doing it to get a check. You got to feed your family. You got to pay the rent. You got to pay the bills. I mean, not all of us are blessed to do what we love in life. And, you know, that's exactly what James was going through. And, you know, he got to a point where he just threw in the towel and said, "Hey, I can't live life like this. I got to go in and attack my passion and my dreams and my goals in life." And he decided to embark on a pretty cool endeavor entitled SWAP. Now, in just a moment, you'll get to hear exactly what SWAP stands for and what it means, and how it got founded. It's pretty cool. Again, SWAP, SWAP. And, I got a chance to sit down with him, and you could just hear, talking with James, you could just hear the passion just flowing from him as he talked about just getting rid of the old and attacking his passion in life and going after things that truly matter to him in life. And that's what life should be all about, you know, especially when it comes to me. That's something I always preach whenever I do speaking engagements at high schools and talking to kids and just daily conversations with life with some of my friends, because they've certainly been through there. And I know a few that are going through that right now where they just are lacking passion. But to start off our conversation, I had to ask James, of course, about traveling back in time and thinking about that 1988 Rose Bowl championship team and about what exactly made it just so special.
It started at the top with our coaches, Coach Perlis, Nick Saban, B-Lot, Coach Baggett, and then it just trickled down to, they believed in, this is how we're going to do it.
Right.
And they stuck to it, and it worked.
Definitely it did. Worked, I tell yeah. you what, and you know what, the comparisons, there's been many comparisons when you talk about Rose Bowl championship teams to this past Rose Bowl championship team. And a lot of people compare the 1988 team to the one who just are coming off a Rose Bowl championship win. If you were a part of that 1988 team, when you saw what this incredible Spartan squad was able to do this past season, are there any comparisons? Where do they kind of, are there any similarities?
Yes, the defense.
Gotcha.
The defense, we had a great defense. We had a great defense, but we had a great offense, too. I mean, it was both ways.
Right.
It was a comparison. You really can't compare because that was 26 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But what those guys did was phenomenal.
How special was it for you to see them get back?
How special? It was very special because I met my wife 8 years ago, and I told her, when we go back, we're going.
Right.
So the beginning of the season was rough.
I was one of the doubters at the beginning of the season.
It was rough, and I told the coaches, y'all had me, you know, upset the first two games, but then they kicked it into gear. I went to Notre Dame game, and we shouldn't have lost that, but we'll leave that one alone, you know, I'm not going to go back there.
We won't bring it up, okay.
But it was just tremendous to be able to play in one and then go to one.
Right.
You know, and it was just, you know, the icing on the cake.
It definitely was.
It was. And then the way they ended the game.
Right.
That fourth down.
Right. I mean, the stop.
We were sitting in Spartan. I mean, it was like we were sitting in Spartan Stadium. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were sitting with guys from the 66 Rose Bowl team. We had guys from the 70s there. We had guys from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. I mean, it was just like a family. It was like Spartan Stadium there. It was phenomenal.
It was. I never forget being on the field, and when that stop was made by Kyle Ellsworth, I mean, everybody just lost their minds. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, we did too. Yeah, we lost our mind up in the
Yeah.
we were sitting like five rows up from game day, so
I'm sure, James. Yeah. Now, you know, I sat down with Coach D. For those of you who have been tuning in to Current Sports these past few weeks, I got a chance to sit down with Coach D and kind of pick his brain on the mindset now, coming off an incredible season like that, expectations are pretty high, and you now have a target on your back.
Yeah.
How do you duplicate that type of success?
Hard work. Staying focused, staying on what you did to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to stay focused. And, you know, the target's there now, on the front and the back.
Right.
So now the key is staying focused and continuing to improve. It's called continuous improvement.
Right.
That's where it's going to take.
Looking at this team, you know, now, you know, missing a lot of pieces on defense, of course, now that have many that have gone to the NFL and even on offense, too. I mean, we're talking about wide receivers like Benny Fowler and whatnot. Where's the weakness on this team and what do you expect them to be this upcoming season?
You know, it was a good spring game. I was there. I really liked what I seen. There is no weaknesses. The thing is, we just got to continue to get stronger and getting better.
Gotcha. Simple formula.
It's simple. It's very simple.
Gotcha.
We got to do it, though.
Yeah, it's two totally different things.
Totally.
Now, you know, you, James, of course, being a Lansing Sexton alum and going on to play at a Big Ten university like MSU on the football team, I'm pretty sure there were a lot of, you know, local individuals around the area that followed your high school career, especially on to now MSU. Was there a lot of pressure for you coming to Michigan State, knowing that now you're playing at a university like MSU? Was there a lot of pressure to perform?
Yes and no. I had my parents really, really stayed on top of us. It was seven boys in my family, three older than me and three younger than me.
So you were in the middle.
Yeah, I was right in the middle. And then my grandmother, Gilda Richardson, was the Lansing School District president, board member. She was the president of Lansing School District. So it was pressure, but I knew that I was there for one reason, you know,
right?
Education and then football.
And what did you study while at MSU?
I was criminal justice major.
Gotcha. Yep. If you could choose a favorite memory, other than the Rose Bowl back in 1988, what was your favorite playing memory while
You know, I can't say one particular thing. That locker room with the guys is something that you'll never forget.
Right.
You know, that camaraderie that you have with the guys.
Right. That bond that you share. That's what I hear all the time.
Exactly.
Now, life after football for you. You shared a story with me before we took the air about preparing for the combine. How did things pan out for you after football?
It was tough. Pittsburgh Dallas was interested. I trained for the combines. Mm-hmm. The fun was gone. I wasn't training to come back for another year at college, let alone try to go that next level. So I hung it up. But I was kind of at peace. Kind of, you know.
And you say kind of. Expound upon that.
When I say kind of, because it was tough. You know, you go through that little struggle when you have been doing something for, you know, since you were 9 years old, and then it's done with.
Right.
Okay? It's a readjusting.
It definitely is. You know, you sitting here saying that right now kind of reminds me of what we talked about in our opening with Alex Garner, you know, 80% sure. That, I mean, sometimes you just lose the passion, right?
Yeah, because if you don't have the passion, and the difference is college to NFL. Okay?
Right.
Everybody's good in college.
Right.
NFL, everybody's great. And if you don't have that passion, you don't want to go out there and hurt yourself or get somebody else hurt seriously.
That's so true. Now, you know, here on the show, we like to talk about topical things that are relevant today. And when you talk about the world of football, a topic that everyone seems to be talking about is Michael Sam becoming the first openly gay NFL player. And a lot of attention around him. You know, I saw the other day that Oprah Winfrey wants to do an 8-part series on the O Network. You have just told me, though, that that's kind of shot down.
Yeah,
nowadays,
yeah.
Right?
I heard that the Rams,
St. Louis Rams, shut that down.
They shut that down because they didn't want to bring too much. That, I mean, cameras in their locker room and all, it's already enough cameras. Mm-hmm. You don't need them following him around 24/7.
Right.
Because it's just too much of a distraction.
James, when you saw that Michael Sam did come out and we saw the moment when he was drafted by the Rams and what ensued after that, again, there's so much attention around this story. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when Michael Sam did come out?
You know what? To each his own, okay? I watched him play football, and he's a hell of a player. You know, regardless of what he came out and said, that's on him. That's his life. But he's a hell of a football player. And, you know, just excited for him. See how it pans out.
Takes a lot of courage to do something like that. Definitely.
A lot of courage.
Definitely.
You know,
another area of topic was this week when it comes to the NFL. The NFL just stays in trouble, man.
It's always something.
It seems like it was last month we were talking about concussions, and the month before that, and now it's something new. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, folks, the NFL is under a lot of heat now for former retired players now coming out and saying that the NFL knowingly, illegally, gave them painkillers, an unlimited supply of painkillers when they would go out for injuries and will receive treatment. What are your thoughts on that?
It's sad. You hear me? It's sad. You know that NFL giving these guys prescription pain medication, because then when they stop playing, I mean that those are addicting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
You stop playing, and all of the sore and the pain and everything that you went through, you're still going to have it. So you're still going to want to take those pills.
Right, right.
How is that going to affect them down the road?
Right.
They don't look at that.
Not at all. That's the big issue right now.
Yeah.
For you, James, being a former football player, are you, you know, after your career was done, had you experienced any pain or concussion symptoms or anything? I'm always interested to see.
I was actually blessed. Very blessed to be a fullback in the Big Ten at 215 pounds, one of the lightest fullbacks in the Big Ten at that time. But like I said, it wasn't just me. I mean, you had Joe Pugh, you had Steve Montgomery. Mm-hmm. It was a tandem of us doing that position. And I was just blessed, very blessed, not to come out with any major, major injuries.
Did you ever have any concussions or anything like that?
I had a lot of concussions.
A lot of concussions?
I had a lot of concussions, but guess what? Back then it was the snow sniffing. You good? What's your name? Okay, back in there, buddy.
That's it. So when you were getting a concussion, you were right back out there.
No, I'm not going to say no. Uh-huh. I'm just saying I took a lot of hits.
Well, that's how the era was back then.
That's how the era was, but I'm not going to say they were concussions.
Right.
But I was like, you know, it was like, okay, where you at? Okay, I'm good. And then, you know, they didn't have the major tests that they have now.
Right.
Back then.
Exactly.
Okay, so I don't want to say that I was back out there when, you know, with a concussion.
Okay? Right.
But they didn't have the eyes weren't on the concussions like they are now.
Okay.
Across the board.
Right, that's certainly true. I mean, times have certainly changed in that regard.
You're talking 26, 27 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so long time.
James, before we let the 12th man get at you, I will be remiss if I didn't bring this up. You now, you know, life after football. We just brought up life after football. Mm-hmm. For you now, you've started a pretty cool endeavor, a very cool endeavor when it comes to motivational speaking. Where did this passion for motivational speaking come from?
Well, I've been going through a lot of things in my life, and my passion has always been with kids. But when I moved back here in August from Ohio, I was in Cincinnati for 5 years, 6 years. Mm-hmm. When I moved back here and, you know, odd and end things going on, and I just had to get back and give back to my community, okay? Me and a buddy of mine, Malik, was sitting talking one day, and something came up with speaking with a purpose, okay?
That just came out of nowhere.
I was thinking about it, and it just came out of nowhere, and then we were, like I was telling you back, we were in the back getting our tuxes for this Pillar Awards. Mm-hmm. And the lady was like, "Swap." Kate, she was like, "Swap." And I'm like, "Bam, swap." And after she said it, and me and Malik were like, "That's good. I've been running with it, you know, speaking with a purpose.
That's great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive, swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive, because the power of the tongue is so powerful. And I'm trying to get to the kids plus our adults, because if we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'd be easier to help with these kids swapping things out.
Right.
You know, swapping that negative to positive.
That's such an inspirational message. I got to ask you, where have you been so far to speak, and what's the response you've got?
I've had one engagement that got canceled and postponed. I will be next Wednesday, the 28th, I will be speaking at Shabazz Academy.
Nice.
And then on the 17th of June, I will be speaking at Peckham.
Oh, that's okay. Great.
And then I just talked to a guy at the prison out in the Ingham County Prison. Mm-hmm. And we set up a date for the 19th of June. I'll be going speaking to some prisoners that are going to be getting released soon.
Right.
So I'm going to be talking to them about coming back into the world, coming back into society, how they're going to have to stop and make choices. Mm-hmm. You know, stop and think before you guys react, because all eyes are on you. You're just getting out. You've been locked up. You've been incarcerated.
That's okay? Such an inspirational message,
you know?
Man.
And that's what the goal is for me. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Where did that inspiration to? Because, you know, it's always, like you said, you've been through a lot in your life. And when was the moment where you said, hey, I want to talk and give back to community?
You know, I've been always one. This has always been a dream and a goal of mine.
Right.
Always been a dream and goal of mine to be able to share my stories, to be able to reach out and help change the lives of kids. And some things in the last month and a half transpired. And I said, you know what, this is the time. Mm-hmm. This is the time. And since I've been taking those steps, things have just been taking off. I'm just, you know, excited about where we're going with this.
That's great stuff. And for our viewers out there that want to know more about SWAP, how can they do so, James?
Hey, www.swapimpact.com.
There you have
it. Check me out.
And your website just got launched, right?
Oh,
recently.
My goodness.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we launched it about maybe a week ago, but okay. I had a guy, Ken, today, go in, and because he's a professional.
Right.
You know, I was trying to do it.
Professional, baby.
Yeah, professional. And I was trying to do it, and it just wasn't working, so...
Right.
We got a guy that took it up, and like I said, just before we came on the air, I looked at it, I'm like, bam. So, hey, www.swapimpact.com.
There you go. You heard it from the man himself. Again, that is James Moore, former MSU fullback, great part of that 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. You can just hear the passion behind his voice when he talks about now moving on to something that he really cares about, when he talks about this SWAP campaign. Doing motivational speaking everywhere, talking to kids, adults. I mean, you heard incarcerated individuals in prison right now. I mean, he does it all, man. He's such a great guy. I had a great time sitting down with him. How you doing, man? Happy Friday, man.
Oh, I'm excited for the long weekend, Al.
I am too. You know, I need it. It's been, oh, gosh.
It's about time.
It's been a long week. I still can't believe it. It always amazes me, though, because I'm sitting there, and I woke up, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's Friday. And I got Friday. Instantly happy, and I'm like, okay. I'm going golfing tomorrow for the first time all year.
There you go.
Yeah, I need some help.
Al Woods coming back.
Al Woods is coming back. It's going to be his first time out all year, so I got some fine-tuning to do to get back on the saddle.
I mean, that's more than Tiger can say.
That's
I mean,
true.
Getting back
true.
Out on the links before he does. So
right, exactly.
You've got a one-up on somebody.
I do. I definitely do.
Let's think about it, Al. How many of those Max Remner golf tips do you remember?
I remember all of them, actually. The putting one, more specifically, because we took so much time on that one. Well, you know what? The other ones I may have forgotten. Hold on, I'm going to have to go back and watch those. They're still posted online, so I'm going to have to check them out, though. But,
right.
Yeah, Max is now, you know, back in Detroit. I actually talked to him via Facebook, and I may be playing at his course this weekend. So we'll see how that pans out, guys. But, man, so much to talk about today really quickly. The Tigers, Detroit Tigers, man. How about this? Again, another loss. Chalk up another one. The Tigers have now lost four straight. They got swept by the Cleveland Indians, as we again talked about that yesterday. And then they lose game one of their series to the Rangers yesterday. A 9-2 just beating. Robbie Ray stroke off the first time in this year, surrendering seven earned runs, 9 hits in 3 1/3 innings. You know, it's been surprising for me in this stretch, but, you know, it's been surprising, but then again, it hasn't been surprising. So to explain it, I mean, you know, a baseball, like I said at the beginning of the show, a baseball season is so long. You're going to eventually hit some kinks in the road. And I guess in that aspect, I knew this was coming, but I didn't think they would get swept by the Cleveland Indians, because the Cleveland Indians are not a great team. And I didn't think that their starting pitching would be this bad in the stretch and would take a lot of the heat for this kink in the road, if you will. In the Tigers' four losses, there has not been a solid start as far as that starting pitching is concerned. I mean, guys like Justin Verlander and Scherzer have certainly struggled. And the bullpen, you know, has been, you know, charged to kind of salvage games, if you will. And we know that the bullpen is kind of the Achilles heel on this Detroit Tigers team. Now, the bullpen, it was certainly taxed during that 13-inning rubber match versus Cleveland. You had infielder Danny Werth pitching the ninth inning, for goodness sake. I mean, it definitely, this team is tired in that regard. That was a long, long game. And a lot of pitchers came. I believe it was nine pitchers throughout that entire game that came in for the Detroit Tigers. Now, the Tigers right now, they lead second place Minnesota by 4.5 games in the division, but they've allowed 31 runs in their past four games. Again, Detroit starters have allowed 19 earned runs over a three-game span. The first time that's happened since May 24th to the 27th back in 2011. So this is really an odd way to lose, if you will, Matt.
Yeah, and you just hope it's an outlier. And in the grand scheme of things, I think it just kind of falls into the ebbs and flows of a baseball season. I mean, they were absolutely, you know, on the sun, scorching red hot before right. The losing streak. I mean, they were the road warriors in the MLB. You know, they had 11 straight road wins, 6 straight wins overall. It just seemed like they were unbeatable. And then they go to Cleveland, get their butts kicked, and now it's kind of carrying over into this home series with the Rangers. Overall, though, I think the starting pitching will bounce back. I mean, Scherzer and Verlander are too good to have, you know, multiple outings like they had in Cleveland. I mean, they'll bounce back. They'll come back to form. Robbie Ray, obviously his sample size is much smaller, so you don't really know how quickly he'll be able to bounce back. But you have to believe that, you know, the overall trend of Detroit starting pitching is that it's one of the best in baseball. I think this is just kind of an outlier, just kind of a random anomaly. I think it'll sort itself out, you know, either this week or next.
Right, I agree. And, you know, mentally, when you look at a stretch like this, when you've lost four straight now, you just have to focus on winning the next one. You got to take it game by game. I know it sounds so cliche, but getting that first win and getting out of the funk, if you will allow Detroit to get back on track. I'm not too worried about it. Again, I think guys like, you know, JV and Scherzer, and, you know, I can go on and on about that starting pitching for the Tigers, which I think is the best in the league. Those guys will get back to where they need to be, without a doubt. I just think it's just a matter of time, and Detroit just has to weather this storm. And again, just focus on getting that first win and getting back on track, which is easier said than done in many regards. But hey, at least they're, you know, again, when you look at this roster, I still think the Tigers are the best team in baseball, without a doubt.
And even with this slide, they still have a 4.5 game lead.
Right.
So they built themselves a nice little cushion to kind of, you know, help when they did stumble, and that's right. Obviously happening now. But they're still in a great position in the overall scheme of things. You know, they just have to right the ship a little bit. I think it'll be little tweaks here and there, and right. I think they'll be right back to where they were.
Yeah, I agree. Alex?
Yeah, only two things to add for me. One, I'm not so worried about losing to Texas because it's Yu Darvish, guys. This pitcher is one of the best pitchers in the league, and one of the best pitchers in the last 3 years at this point. I mean, Yu Darvish is dominant. So when you're going up to against Yu Darvish, I wouldn't be expecting to win a game like that unless pitching is just as good and it isn't allowing very many runs, and your offense somehow can handle the relief. But when you face Yu Darvish, he's going 8-9 innings. He's going to pile up a bunch of strikeouts, and you're not going to get on base very much. So I'm not really too worried about Texas for right now, but for Cleveland, yeah, that's definitely a concern, guys. And in regards to Robbie Ray, there's one thing that we're missing here, and it's that when Robbie Ray pitched earlier on in the year, he wasn't really pitching against great teams. I mean, the one game he pitched against Minnesota, I think he had another game against those teams aren't very good. This was his first real test against Texas, and he got lit up. And obviously, he has a lot of maturing to do. I think maybe with Anibal coming back, you send him down, let him mature down at AAA a little bit. He's got some time.
I don't know if I would go that far, Alex. I think this. I mean, we haven't seen enough of Robbie Ray to panic, to hit the panic button yet, to send him down just yet. I mean, he's had, I mean, it's those first two games, even though they were against those type of teams, still, they were great outings for him. He comes out and has not an impressive start against Texas. That's only one game, though. Like Matt said, it's only a small sample size of what we've seen of him.
Sure.
Give him a few more starts, and we'll see. If he bombs, then we could have that discussion. But not pushing the panic button right now. And I think, like I said, the most alarming part for me in this whole four-game losing streak is, again, the starting pitching for me. I mean, because it's been so consistent and it's been so there that when it's not been there in these past four games, you kind of turn your head and say, okay, what the heck is going on? So that, for me, has been so alarming. Again, Texas is a great team, and they can definitely cause you some problems going against them. And Yu Darvish is definitely a great talent. But for me, it's the way the Tigers are losing these games that are so alarming to me.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. I mean, and speaking to the Yu Darvish thing, I kind of agree there, especially when you match up with Robbie Ray. You know, that you're kind of fighting a losing battle there. If it was, say, a Darvish-Scherzer showdown, then you could put a little more stock in it. But like you said, just the pitching matchup was not in Detroit's favor yesterday. I'm interested to see going forward in the series if they can start to bounce back. If they get out of there with a split versus Texas, things are looking up. If they get swept again, then we're really going to start talking about a slide. But
right.
I think if they can manage to win two games in this series, they're going to start going back to where they were.
Yeah.
And how about Prince Fielder, guys? We talked about it all show yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I want to bring up. You know, Prince is now done for the season with, of course, this herniated disc fusion surgery that will be taking place on Tuesday. Will likely miss the rest of the year. You know, for me, looking at this, I really want to see definitely returning back to his home team that he had last season. I want to see how he would perform. I'm sure a lot of fans out there would see how we're wondering the same thing. And now to have this, it's just kind of a bummer. But for him, I think Prince is, you know, he's been so consistent. Again, a whopping 547 consecutive games. That's unbelievable. I mean, he's definitely a durable guy. So this is something he's never faced before in his entire career. And I can only weigh on how this is dealing with him mentally. Because, you know, when you are so consistent and have not had a significant injury to this magnitude in your entire career and it finally happens, the way you respond to it says a lot about how you bounce back and can bounce back and your mental toughness. So, if anything, I will be trying to see how Prince returns from this next year. And he's just got to stay positive, man. It's unfortunate for him. I want to see him play.
It's unfortunate. I guess on the bright side, he does not have to answer questions about what happened in Detroit.
Yeah, that's
now. He's got a year to get ready with better answers for next season, but he at least avoids that. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, obviously people are going to say, well, man, I'm glad the Tigers traded him, you know, because now he's out. And clearly they get the better of the deal, at least for this year. But like you said, it will be interesting to see how he bounces back. And especially when you go to a new team, you're a high-profile player, you're a highly paid player. A
lot of expectations.
And you miss a majority of the season. That puts a lot of pressure on you next season to come back strong and kind of earn, you know, the accolades and earn the pay and earn the trade. I mean, he's going to have to live up to the billing even more so next year because he's really putting himself in a hole with the injury this season.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and aside from the injury, guys, how about the fact that Dombrowski is looking like a genius now? Mm-hmm. As much as he's been so consistent, it looks like his time was due. At some point, he had to miss some games. So it shows that regardless of what happened, this worked out for the Tigers as well as it could have.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely does look like a genius. So right at the right time, and you know, an injury like this happens, and Fielder's done for the season, that could have been in the Tigers jersey. So, I mean, hey, there you have that. I mean, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. All right, guys, let's hit the break. When we come back, we will talk about a little, Marcos Maidana and Floyd Mayweather. We'll talk a little Hoyer versus Manziel and Reflection Friday. Don't miss any of it. Current sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, let's talk a little Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer, ladies and gents. Of course, right now, you know, looking at multiple reports coming out of preliminary camp for the Cleveland Browns. Right now, they're sticking to their guns. The Cleveland Browns are certainly sticking to their guns. And Brian Hoyer is taking reps with the first team, while Johnny Manziel, as custom with a lot of rookie quarterbacks who come into a franchise, he is taking third team reps. And, you know, right now they, you know, I love this because right now the Browns are really sticking to their guns and saying, Johnny Football, if you want this, you're going to have to go out there and earn it. And, of course, Brian Hoyer, a guy looking at last year, I thought he, you know, when he was in, you know, he had a few great games. And he seemed as though, you know, he has really come a long way from his career. He seems to have a lot of poise in the pocket. He knows how to read defenses very well. And, you know, Manziel right now, he just has to focus on right now getting consistent in camp and learning the playbook. Because for a rookie QB, for a quarterback, that quarterback position is so strenuous. That playbook is so thick. There's a lot of things you got to learn. And Johnny Football has a lot of pressure on him. You got to add that into there because he's a media fiasco right now. Right now, the Browns are going to make him earn that spot. And I like that. That's the mindset you got to attack that with. And having this QB competition between Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel, I think that both of them going into camp day by day and competing with one another is going to bring out the best in both of them. And in the end, when that NFL season starts, you're going to get the best guy for the job, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, what else could Cleveland really say?
Right.
I mean, it would be foolish to just be like, yep, we're handing in the keys. It's his franchise.
Yeah, that'd be
stupid. You just can't do that, especially with a lightning rod player like Manziel in the first place, a guy who has had some off the field transgressions, I suppose, and has made waves doing stuff off the field. I mean, you can't just hand your organization over to a 21-year-old. That's right. Not a good way to go about it, especially if you want to motivate him to get better. So I think this is really the only route they could take. My real question is, is this all just posturing to try and get him to maybe work a little harder and study a little longer
as far as
the Browns playbook? Because at the end of the day, it just kind of seems like this is all just, you know, talk.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me in September when they're actually lacing him up and see who the starter is. Right now, they can say all they want about how Hoyer is the guy. I want to see what happens when they're taking the field and who they're going to actually go with.
Alex, what are your thoughts real quick on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with Matt. It kind of is all talk right now. If Hoyer or any other quarterback was there, I'm pretty sure the same conversation would be happening regardless of who it is. If it's a third-string quarterback, they'd be talking about how this guy could compete for a job. We saw it with Detroit before Stafford came in when Harrington was there and they acquired Jeff Garcia and there were talks with who would start opposed to Garcia. I think they still had Stanton at the time and they were talking about Stanton or Garcia. It happens all the time. So I'm not very surprised. This is going to be the kind of coverage that you saw with the Jets when they couldn't decide on the quarterback. As much as Brian Hoyer and Manziel are nowhere near the equivalent of Sanchez and Tebow, it's still the same amount of media coverage you're going to get at either place.
And, you know, looking at different reports coming out of camp from, you know, different media outlets who are right there in Cleveland who cover this team on a daily basis, from what they've seen and from the coaches, you know, that they've talked to right now, as of right now, and it's still early, Brian Hoyer, I mean, he's more comfortable in position right now because he knows the playbook. He's comfortable with the team. He's been here for a minute. And another thing you got to take into consideration, I think, with this is that Hoyer is no spring chicken. He's 28 years old. Eventually, let's just say in fantasy land, let's say Johnny Football isn't a starting QB this season. Eventually, Manziel is going to be the guy. Eventually, he is going to be the franchise. He is going to be your starting QB, eventually, if he does not start this season. I'm just saying, I want to throw it out there because that kind of put things in perspective as well.
Right, and the other big thing that is kind of overlooked in these talks is that the Browns just hired Kyle Shanahan as their new offensive coordinator. He worked in Washington before with RG3. He's not going to come in and design a playbook that doesn't take advantage of the things that Johnny Manziel can do. And Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer are drastically different quarterbacks. Brian Hoyer can move around a little bit, but Johnny Manziel is all about improvisation, using his feet, getting out of the pocket, all of that sort of stuff. So I think, you know, as far as Hoyer maybe being ahead of him as far as the playbook is concerned, maybe not as much as people think because it's going to be a new playbook, because it's a new guy running the show as far as the offense is concerned. What I think is going to happen is they're going to go into the season, Hoyer is the guy, Johnny's right. Going to be number two to start the year, maybe. But after a few weeks, if they struggle you got to put him in.
I was just about to say that. I think it's going to be a situation. I think Brian will be the starting QB, without a doubt. But if weeks and weeks go by, and they continue to, let's say they start on a little 2-week losing streak, 3-week losing streak, Johnny Football will be in there, and he could probably just take the reins and take the horns, and the keys will be his.
Plus,
officially.
I mean, Cleveland fans are already salivating
right,
for it.
Right, they are. They want to see him play, and, you know, I think it would be a disservice to many of them. It's going to be interesting, too, because, you know, those preseason games, you know, that don't mean a lot, they'll get to see him a lot then, and I think that'll be kind of telling as well. But, you know, they'll get to see him on the field a little bit, even if he does not start the year. But eventually, if Hoyer's going to have to be on his game. There's a lot of pressure on him, just as much, if not more, than it is on Manziel right now, to keep his job, I think, at the end of the day. So, Alex, anything?
No, the only thing I really have to add is, let's talk in September. That's really it.
Do you think he's going to be the
mesh conversation?
The
Manziel, I think he will be. I think the only reason that Hoyer's in conversation is just because he's been there.
To start the year, you think Johnny
will be
the guy?
I think Johnny will be the guy.
All right, man, you're on record, man. That'll be add that to our pick 'em list.
Hey,
I think I'm going with Brian Hoyer to start the year.
It's 50-50. Maybe Hoyer starts 2 weeks.
We'll see. Yes,
and if they struggle at all, I think Manziel's in. But really, the interesting thing is, what if Hoyer does start and does well?
Right.
You know, what do they do then? Because then you're still going to get fan pressure to put Manziel in. But if they're winning games, it's tough to take a guy out. And
exactly.
Brian Hoyer last year looked effective.
Yeah.
Granted, those
were three games. I mean, he looked
super
great.
Limited sample size, but he looked great. And
right.
You know, when's the last time we thought a Cleveland Browns quarterback looked great?
Yeah.
It
right.
just doesn't happen.
And now it's not even that Manziel's going to be the guy to launch them forward. They acquired a great cornerback, in my opinion, Gilbert being one of the best in the draft. They acquired some other good pieces to help out aside from Manziel. So it's not like Hoyer is or Manziel, whoever's coming to that picture, is going to be stuck in a bad team. This team has a lot of potential this year.
Yeah, they're going to be competitive, I think. I definitely agree with that. All right, guys. Well, you guys heard the comments from Floyd Mayweather Sr. To start the show in our Quick Hit Headliners. Floyd Mayweather Sr. had some interesting comments when it comes to Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s next fight. Of course, Floyd Mayweather Sr. is Floyd's dad. Now, quote, Floyd told me he wants to do it again, but I really already told him I don't think he should do it. The guy's nothing but an MMA fighter. He's twisting your arm, pushing you out of the ring, hitting you behind the head, hitting you below the belt, butting you in the head. That's not boxing, end quote. Again, that's from Floyd Mayweather Sr. when it comes to a rematch on whether or not a rematch should happen between Floyd and Marcos Maidana in September. You know, this is comical to me because it's a typical Floyd Mayweather Sr. quote when it comes to Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s record. When Floyd faces adversity, whether it be in any fight or in any point in his career, the eventual goal, the ultimate storyline in this whole thing is that Floyd wants to retire undefeated. He wants to go and have an unblemished record and go down as one of the greatest of all time to never lose a fight. In that Marcos Maidana fight, it surprised a lot of people, including Floyd Mayweather Jr. and his dad and his entire camp, because they frankly didn't think that Marcos Maidana was going to put up as much of a fight as he did. I mean, Marcos Maidana came out very aggressive. He cut Floyd, something we haven't seen in quite some time. And it became a street brawl throughout various points in those 12 rounds, to the point where it got, you know, Floyd Mayweather Sr. and his camp a little nervous, because we finally saw a chink in the armor, if you will, on Floyd Mayweather Jr., so much so that I think they're afraid of a possible loss to if they fought Marcos Maidana again. So Floyd Mayweather Sr. had to come up with an excuse to possibly deviate a rematch happening, and he's grasping at straws and bringing up this type of notion that Marcos Maidana is a dirty fighter. That's all this comes down to, I think.
Yeah, well, see, with me, anything that comes out of the Floyd camp, whether it is Jr., Sr., I don't know, Floyd's dog, anything
right.
you hear from the Floyd Mayweather camp has to be looked at skeptically,
it
because
does.
He is the ultimate showman and the ultimate businessman when it comes to boxing. What better way to drum up interest than to have your dad say, well, maybe he shouldn't fight them. Maybe he shouldn't fight Maidana again because he fought dirty, and like you said, maybe he has a chance to lose. That's the only reason people tune into these fights, to see if Floyd loses. So what better way to drum up interest than to have people from your own camp questioning whether you should do it? I think that only piques interest even more. From a business perspective, it is extremely smart because you're drawing more people in thinking, well, maybe this is finally the time. And after the first fight, people are already on that wagon anyway, so why not add some fuel to the fire?
I can see
those pay-per-view sales.
I can see that too.
Everything, it all comes down to money.
It does. It does. And Mayweather, you know, he's his middle name is Money, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
And, you know, Mayweather could earn a lot of money off this fight. You know what? Let's just say if Floyd Mayweather Sr. didn't make these comments, I still think that Floyd would have, if he fights Maidana again, is scheduled to make a ton of money. Just off the fact, looking at how that fight went that first time he fought
right.
Maidana.
Right. Is there anyone else he could fight right now that would generate the amount of interest that a rematch would?
Only Manny Pacquiao.
Okay.
Only Manny Pacquiao. That's it.
Yeah. I could actually totally see where Matt's coming from, because when he faced Maidana the first fight, we were talking right on the show, Al, about maybe he took it a little bit easy to generate some interest to show that it might not be such a walk-away fight like most of his fights are.
Well, he did. I mean, Floyd came out and said, you know, like he does in every fight, that, you know, he wants to give the fans their money's worth. And, you know, some fights he may lean on the ropes and get hit a little bit, but he realized, okay, maybe I'm doing this against the wrong guy. And Maidana, if you give Maidana any sort of room, he's going to punish you. And he showed that. We haven't seen Floyd cut. I haven't seen blood from Floyd Mayweather in years, you know. And I think that, you know, they're a little nervous now, I think.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, is it's not about even being nervous, but I want to ask you two, do you agree that Maidana did have some cheap shots in that fight and that he was a little bit dirty? Or you just don't think that's true, that this is just a media stunt?
I think that there were moments in that fight where Maidana made it a street brawl. You remember the drag down in that fight, right, where he picked Floyd up and threw him on the ground?
Yeah, right.
There was a moment, that's street mentality. And it was to kind of get into Floyd's head. I mean, and I thought it was a great tactic to try and, you know, to throw him off his rocker a little bit. And Maidana's the type of guy, he's going to do what it takes to win. And it was one of those things where he tried it. And it obviously worked to a degree, you know. So I definitely thought there were some cheap shots maybe here and there from Maidana.
Because as much as it may be a media kind of a strategic PR move from his dad, I agree with his dad, actually. I do think that Maidana was somewhat of a dirty fighter.
He definitely exaggerated those comments. It wasn't an MMA fight, for goodness sake.
Sure, it wasn't.
There were a few times here and there.
But he was being sarcastic in a way, too. I mean, we weren't there, and it's hard to take this text so literally because of the tone of his voice and whatnot. He could have just been saying, that's hearsay, you know. You don't really know what specifically Floyd Mayweather Sr. was implying with that, but I hear where he's coming from, and when it comes to a dirty fighter like that, you don't know what could happen.
I don't label Maidana a dirty fighter, because he's not a dirty fighter.
Well, quote unquote.
There were moments in the fight I thought that, you know, could have, you know, made you kind of shake your head a little bit, but, you know, and they work, though. They work. It's boxing, you know, man up.
Yeah, if you're a fighter of Floyd's caliber, you can't make excuses like that. Even if it's your dad making the excuses for you.
Exactly.
If you fancy yourself the greatest of all time and, you know, the most important boxer of a generation,
right,
you should be able to overcome stuff
like
that.
Yeah, adversities at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, to close out the show, guys, you got to give the fans what they want. If the fans want a rematch, you got to start. Boxing has to start giving the fans what they want at the end of the day. And I think that's one of the reasons why the sport is hurting nowadays, frankly. So, all right, ladies and gents. Well, that is all we have for today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. As always, take care. Happy holidays, man. It's Memorial Day on Monday. Have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. And be easy, people. Mm-hmm.